I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. One down and one to go. Baseball's All-Star Game brought national attention to our city, and this Thursday, Google Fiber will tell us how much it will cost to speed up our reputation. While residents have been riding the feel-good wave, Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James has been wrestling with the future of a downtown convention hotel and what should happen with Kemper Arena. Today, the mayor will also talk with us about the All-Star Game, Google Fiber, streetcars, the stifling heat, and a dead heat competition he's in with the head of the Chamber of Commerce. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Mayor Sly James helped Kansas City win kudos for its handling of the 2012 All-Star Game, but new challenges are never far away. The heat wave is resulting in fractured water mains throughout the city. Streetcars remain a priority, but how to fund the $100 million system remains a big concern. The city is looking for a new fire chief with the retirement of longtime Chief Smokey Dyer. There's still talk about a downtown convention hotel, and what should the city do about Kemper Arena? Then there's a matter of priorities. Which of all these needs should come first? Mayor Sly James joins us now, and Mayor, always good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Let's talk about the heat. You know, we talked yesterday on this program about the heat and the drought and how neither are very kind to water pipes. How big a problem does the city have right now with breaking water pipes?
Well, it's huge. We believe it's accountable and attributable to about a 30% increase in the number of mains breaking. When you add that to an old system that's already had problems with breaking mains, it's the type of problem we don't need. Now, I can also tell you that a lot of cities are experiencing the same problem. The drought is the drought, it's the drought, and it's having a huge impact on old water systems and even new systems.
Are you able to keep up with all the breaking lines or not?
No, not really. Well, let me put it to you like this. I think that our water department and our contractors are doing everything they can, and they're exercising some of the valves to try to make sure that, you know, we limit as much as possible. But some things are simply out of control. But I think that we're doing the best that we can with limited resources.
You know, how are residents faring in this heat? Are folks holding up okay? What's your sense as you get around town?
Better than I expected, frankly. Yeah. The numbers that I heard with regards to ambulance pickups and being taken to cooling shelters was a lot less than what I expected. At least yesterday I'd heard something in the neighborhood of 15 to 17.
Because 15, 20 years ago, we'd go through something like this and there'd be all kinds of folks, you know, sad stories about folks dying in apartments without any air conditioning and that kind of thing. And maybe things have gotten more units out there and people are holding up better as a result.
Well, I think that that's certainly part of it. But I also think that we have to give a lot of credit to our philanthropic and charitable communities. When they knew that this was coming, the request for fans and help and assistance has been quite great. So I think that the other thing that we always told people when we were doing the run-up to the All-Star Game and had our heat warning was we ask them to go check on their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so we still want people to go check on their neighbors. A lot of things can be averted or eliminated or decreased by us looking out for each other a little bit. And I think that, frankly, Kansas Cityans do a pretty darn good job of that. And I really think that's a huge part of why we're not seeing huge numbers of people seriously affected.
So what you're acknowledging here is you simply can't wave a magic wand and make it rain, even though you're Kansas City's mayor.
I was able to stop it from snowing. I used up all of my weather chits in the winter, so maybe this is payback.
You're stuck right now. Okay.
Right.
Well, the 2012 All-Star Game is history. What's your sense, Mayor, of how the city fared under the glare of all this national media attention? Because the bounce back seemed to be pretty favorable.
I think that we were outstanding. I was extremely proud of our city. I was extremely proud of our citizens. I was extremely proud of the way that everybody worked together in order to build a seamless product. I can't tell you how happy I was to be roaming around the city day after day and bumping into people from Texas or San Francisco or Pennsylvania or New York or California, and having them tell me, often unsolicited, how neat they thought Kansas City was, how really surprised they were at what they found, how friendly, every single one said how friendly the people were. We were known for that. We provided services that they hadn't seen. They loved it. Had a couple of folks that I met on the night of the gala who had extended their time through the weekend because they wanted to see more of Kansas City.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how we possibly don't take joy and pride in that. It was a great week for us.
Hey, are there things the city could have done better?
Oh, I don't know. I think we probably could have avoided some of the booing of Cano.
I was going to ask you. About the captain of the American League home run derby team,
right,
who did not put Billy Butler on the team of the Royals, and
right,
he was booed roundly as a result of that.
Well, he was booed roundly and repeatedly and overtly. And
he's a Yankee, Mayor.
And you know what? Let me tell you what happened after that. That was the night of the gala. And then after the gala was the players' party. I went to the players' party, and I met some of the players, and I met some of the union people, and I met some of the agents. I met Albert Robinson Cano's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, we love Kansas City, but that was uncalled for. The only negative they had to say about their entire experience here was that. I offered to call Robinson Cano and talk to him. They took the number, the email. They sent me back an email and said, we talked to him. He appreciates it. He doesn't think that you need to go to that trouble. But, you know, sometimes I think we forget that the people on the field are actually people.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It went a little too far, you thought.
I think so. I don't think it was necessary. And I certainly don't want to cast any aspersions on Billy Butler because he's a nice young man. But I think he missed an opportunity to go over and shake Cano's hand, put his arm around the shoulder, signal to the crowd, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And that would have made him a hero on a national stage.
You know, there was a little bit of kickback that the city, that the TV networks didn't show as many camera shots of some of Kansas City's great destinations, that they didn't pop up as often during the telecast as people might have expected them to. What about that?
Yeah, you know,
okay,
it didn't. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know,
yeah,
we don't have the cameras, and they do what they want. I'm much more interested in making sure that each and every person who was actually in the city left here with a great and glowing experience. I also want to say thanks to a very special group of people, the people who ran the social media command center.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was phenomenal. I don't know if you had an opportunity to
go. We talked about it here on the air. Yeah.
Oh, it was fabulous. And it, frankly, it was Star Wars to me. I'm kind of in that era, you know. But I think that the folks who were there and the work that they did and the amount of time that they spent on it was fabulous. It was so unique, by the way, that Major League Baseball sent their people there to look at it because they hadn't seen anything like it.
This may be the future for other All-Star games and other conventions down the road. This was a command center where out-of-town visitors could tweet or Facebook, and they could get a quick response from someone in the command center
Absolutely.
For whatever questions they had.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they handled 72,000-plus tweets between Saturday and Tuesday.
Wow. Not bad.
That's a lot of people to be in contact with. And people who were in this city knew that there was somebody in this city who was ready to spend a little time with them to make sure they got to the right restaurant, they knew where they were going, et cetera.
We're visiting with Mayor Sly James. You know, Mayor, Google's making this big announcement this week about the high-speed service it plans to offer Kansas City and Kansas City, Kansas. What do you expect to hear on Thursday when they make the big announcement? Or do you know?
Do I know, or what do I expect?
How about what do you know and what can you share with us?
I know stuff I can't share with you.
Yeah, I figured.
I tell you what I expect. I think that when the full panoply of what they're doing becomes known, people are going to be excited. I think that when they find out how it's going to be rolled out, they're going to be excited. I think that I want to make sure that we temper people's expectations. The fact that they make an announcement on Thursday doesn't mean on Friday you're going to have it in your home.
Right.
It's going to take a while still, but there's a method to their madness, and there are some pretty neat things that I think will be included in it, and I hope that everybody will pay attention because it's going to make some of the things that we do now in terms of our home stuff in our business work as well changed considerably and offers a lot more options and a lot of really neat bells and whistles.
Do you think we'll get a better sense after this week? The speculation is that we'll find out more about services to be offered, perhaps prices to be charged.
Right.
Is that a fair expectation?
I think that there is a real possibility that those types of things will be made known and become much clearer within this next week.
Yeah. How is your relationship with the Google folks these days? I mean, the sense that the media has, at least, which is, of course, to my detriment, how I look at the world, it's so secretive. You don't really have a sense of what they're doing. We're sort of waiting and sort of wondering, what do you think?
They are unique people. Very brainy, very guarded about what they say and don't say and mm-hmm. how they want information disseminated.
Mm-hmm.
They control their brand very well. I've kind of learned to be a little more comfortable with it, but the bottom line is that they have a script of how they want to proceed and they don't like deviations from it. And I understand that.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that they're getting maximum benefit out of the things that they do. I think, though, that when all is said and done, the rollout is one thing. The thing that I think that we will ultimately judge them for is the service. And that's always a big thing here is what kind of service do you get when you sign up? So that's what I'm hoping that they really take care of, and I think they're already in the process of doing that.
And you're confident there's still reason to be excited here about what all this could mean for the city?
Absolutely. I mean, we are going to have something nobody else in the country has at, I think, an affordable price, and it's going to have both residential and business applications, and it's going to allow the really innovative people in this city first crack at innovating, and I think that's a really neat thing. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be something that a lot of people are going to be excited about. So I encourage everybody to pay attention on the 26th.
You know, just last week we had a great interview with the founder of Code for America, a group that wants to innovate the way city halls around the country do business. And
Jessica Padilla.
Yes, Jessica all but said that Kansas City and Kansas City, Kansas will be on the list for next year and sort of this trying to bring innovative ways to do interact with the public. For folks at City Hall, pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Joe Reardon and I met with Jessica in Orlando at U.S. Conference and had a great conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had a great conversation. And once again, it's really interesting that the thing that I think she seized upon was the fact that here are two mayors, two different cities, two different states.
She talked about
willing
this.
To work together.
Yeah, absolutely. She's very excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's Jennifer, not Jessica.
Yeah.
But at any rate, the fact of the matter is that what we're trying to do is to find different innovative ways of bringing government to the people of the cities. And the reason for that is that, frankly, we're not getting a whole lot of help on anything from the federal government or the state government in a lot of ways.
Not much these days.
The tires rolling downhill stop in the cities. We have to deal with the issues one way or the other. So if we can find innovative ways to do that that conserve resources as much as possible, that allow citizens to participate, some of whom have great ideas, then we're going to be better off for it. And I think that's one of the things I like about working with Joe is we think alike in that regard. Let's find a better way.
This really is a new era for city governments around the country, with federal government sort of being up to its neck in debt, state governments financially strapped. Cities more than ever truly are on their own, aren't they?
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's the theme that I hear from mayors across the country. That's the theme that was delivered to the representatives of both the Obama presidential campaign and the Romney presidential campaign in Philadelphia last week. Some mayors are more radical than others. One suggested that we have a mayor's Occupy Washington. I wasn't willing to live in a tent with him, but I kind of got the understanding mm-hmm. of where he was coming from, because we feel like we are the ones who have to deal with the issues on a real basis, but we're not getting any help from the people who are, to some extent, creating the issues.
And this means real things when it comes to help for streetcars, help for sewer projects. I mean, this affects you and what you're trying to do every day, right?
Every day. Infrastructure. You know, we should be getting more federal help in terms of infrastructure would help put people to, back to work. We have an unfunded $2.5 billion EPA mandate. Not just us, but just about every other city that was participating in the leadership conferences last week. We all have them. I was sitting next to one mayor who has who just was able to get a judgment that allowed them to stretch their judgment out to 18 years as opposed to the 10 that it was, and to cut it down from a billion down to like 800 million. And he was happy as a clam. A smaller city than ours. But lots of cities are going through this, and we don't have the money. Our needs are greater. Our citizens are suffering. And we still have to keep the store open and sell more product.
Again, our guest is Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. You know, we haven't visited since the federal government turned down Kansas City for that $25 million grant that was to be used to jumpstart the streetcar system in this town. Some of your own colleagues in the city council are now unsure whether the city can proceed with this $100 million project, but you say you're undeterred. Tell me why. I mean, how can the city pick up the tab for a $100 million project right now, Mayor?
Well, we're scrounging around looking for dimes and quarters under other people's cushions and couches. That's one way. But we think that we may have an opportunity to find upwards of $10 million at another location, if we can convince the people to part with it.
In the federal government you're talking about?
No, locally.
Okay.
Locally. We're not counting on the federal government for much of anything. But we believe that we can come up with the money in some way, shape, and or form and keep the rest of the formula static. We might have – our best estimates now is that if everything breaks right, we might have a $4 to $5 million gap that we don't know how to fund. On the other hand, we've also been talking to Congressman Cleaver to see if he can help us with stuff. But what we hear from D.C. is nothing's going to happen until after these elections.
Yeah.
We had a congressman and a senator at one of the USCM meetings that basically said nothing's coming out of D.C. until after November. Forget it.
And the prospects at that point suggest what to you?
That once they know who's going to run the show, then I think we'll know whether or not we're going to get a transportation bill, whether or not we're going to be able to get any grant fundings that are out there and available. But everything's being held. We don't even know who the Secretary of Transportation is going to be.
Yeah, right.
You know, so those types of things are up in the air. But the thing about it that I want to emphasize is, no, I'm not deterred. I'm not quitting. I believe strongly that this is something that Kansas City absolutely needs. You can't go to another city that has rail of any sort and not understand the impact that it's had on that city.
No, but there are critics out there who say, you know, all this talk about development along streetcar lines, it's all a bunch of hullabaloo. It doesn't really manifest itself in the way that it's been proposed to do. What do you say to that?
I say go talk to the other cities that have already done it and see if they think it's a bunch of hullabaloo.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that we haven't done something and we're very critical of it, whereas all the other cities across the country who have done it and probably went through exactly the same arguments we're going through here believe that it has had a huge impact on their cities. And not only that, it would be interesting to me to find out what sort of psychology makes somebody who does something that hurts them continue to do it year after year. Nobody is saying, I want to give my rail back. What they're saying is, I want more money, I want more rail. We have resisted the tide of transportation in this city forever.
Yeah.
At some point in time, the tide's going to wash over us. The other thing about it, read an article that someone sent me about what people coming out of college and young millennials want in cities. They don't want what we've got. They want what we should have. They want transportation. They want to be able to live in a city without a car because a car payment is a house payment.
Yeah.
They want to be able to live in a place where they can walk, ride bikes, have a lifestyle that suits their needs. If we want to attract the talent that's going to keep this city vibrant for the next 25 years, we need to put in the infrastructure that those types of people need.
But just so we're clear, are we talking at this point, Mayor, about putting the entire financial lug on the folks who live within this defined downtown streetcar district? That's $100 million or you know, something a little bit less than that. That's a lot of money to put on a very confined part of the city. Do you have any thoughts or expectations that it's time to expand the taxpaying pool of folks who will be contributing to construction of this new system?
No, I think we've got the right plan with the TDD, and that's the way that, in my opinion, we ought to keep it. And don't forget that the city itself is in that TDD and will be paying a substantial portion of that TDD. We're not the people who live there are going to benefit, but so is the city.
TDD is
Transportation Development District.
Okay. So this is the way it's set up, it's going to work as far as you're concerned.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Under a best-case scenario, I know we have two elections coming up this year on this issue. When might we see construction beginning if things proceed as you want them to?
If we are fortunate enough to be able to solve our funding thing, our funding issues, and get the votes of the people in the TDD that we need, we could be looking at breaking ground in sometime, probably, I would think, later in 2013. There's still some engineering work that would need to be done.
Yeah.
And some of that engineering would probably bring the cost down. What, you know, one thing to remember about the $100 million, that is the absolute worst-case scenario with redundancies and overruns built in. If engineering should drive those costs down, and to the extent they drive it down, the first people who will receive the benefit of that reduction will be the people in the TDD. On the other hand, the first people who receive the benefit of rail transit downtown, the streetcar transit downtown, and the development that happens downtown, and the property value increases that happens downtown will be the people in the TDD.
We have an email here from Scott at uptodate@kcur.org. Does the city have any plans to encourage building on or elimination of surface parking from the River Market to Crown Center? And he talks about so much parking.
Well, I agree, and that's one of the purposes of having the streetcar system. When we were talking with one of the individuals who had done streetcars across the country, one of the things that they pointed out and showed a map of was a section of Washington, D.C. that had, I think, 20-something surface parking lots in like a mile area before streetcars. And then 10 years later, two surface parking.
Wow.
The rest of them have been occupied by buildings.
Yeah.
So, yes.
You know, I still sense ambivalence around town when it comes to streetcars and mass transit in general. You know, it's a lot of money. City doesn't have it right now. It's a confined route from Crown Center to the River Market that doesn't help residents on the east side who desperately need help with transportation. And you say what to that?
I say I understand the ambivalence, but I also understand the need to be thinking not just what happens today, but what we're going to be doing in 10 years. When do we start? We've had conversation after conversation after conversation in this city, not just about streetcar, but about streetcar, about infrastructure, about this and about that. And we never pull the trigger. We just continue to complain.
And you want to pull it.
We got to do something sometime. We can't just continue to sit around and talk about stuff. We actually have to do it. And yes, I would love to see this built, but the bottom line is you can't build anything everywhere until you build something somewhere. And we haven't built anything anywhere yet.
So is this the number one priority of your administration right now? Is this where your focus and what you want to see happen next is right now?
It's one of the ones long term. But my number one priority is August 7th of 2012. We have some serious things coming up.
You have a couple ballot issues coming up. One has to do with sales tax for parks and streets, and you have another one about sewer bonds coming up. The one question I had about the sales tax for parks, it's parks and streets, right?
It's parks.
Okay, just parks. There's no sunset on the sales tax increase you're looking at. There's also a property tax relief component of that one. But why no sunset on the sales tax? The city has a recent history of sticking sunsets on those sales tax proposals.
Well, for one, as long as there's no sunset and we're collecting the sales tax, then we don't collect the property tax. If we have a sunset and we don't collect the sales tax, then the property taxes come back on.
But why not have residents review it 5 or 10 years down the road?
Well, if they do, it's going to be an automatic return. I mean, it's a matter of choice. And the thing about it is, frankly, is that we have, I don't know how many reviews of taxes. Every 2 years, we have oh, we have to go out and run another $500,000 campaign or $1 million campaign to renew a tax that people wind up renewing. Cities are moving towards longer sunsets if they have sunsets at all. The bottom line is that parks need stable funding. And we are simply offering with this sales tax not a huge increase. It's approximately a $3 million increase is all they get out of this. And if we have a sunset on that, then we also would have a sunset on the $7.5% of the earnings tax for the street maintenance fund. So it's kind of like, why do we need to sunset the things that we should be doing every year? That 7.5% of the earnings tax would provide more money per year than we've ever spent in any single year to fix the streets of this city.
And the parks need help. Why, Mayor?
Well, I was at Marlboro this morning. Marlboro is a community, has a community center, and I saw some young ladies in going through an exercise class, some older gentlemen playing pool. I saw what they use for a library. They don't have a library any place in that area, so they have this system where Mid-Continent will drop a book. If you order a book online, they'll drop it in a box the next day, that type of thing. I saw five computers that they use for the kids and the people in the community who need computers, and they're open 20 hours a week. 20 hours a week for a community center.
Wow.
So it's either 5 days of 4 hours a week or 4 days of 5 hours a week, but a community center should be open all the time. And let me tell you one of the reasons why. Club KC, remember after the plaza curfew?
Yeah.
And the and we were talking about we have to not just throw them off. We need an alternative. So we started Club KC. Last year we ran three community centers, extra hours. We came up with some money to do that. North, Central, and South. And the South and the Central did quite well. This year we organized it better. I asked for $200,000 in our budget to do that. And we have a place at Brush Creek for high school kids, at Kleiss for middle school kids. The attendance at Brush Creek starting June 22 was 153. The attendance this last weekend, 885.
Whoa.
Okay. The attendance at Kleiss on June 22nd, 122. The attendance this last weekend, 208. Tony Aguirre, we're bringing on, just ran a very quick open this last week, 28, but we'll have more. So we've been able to provide services to, at this point, 3,325 youth in our city that we wanted to keep from going onto the plaza and creating problems. Now they have a place to go. Come August, won't happen. Run out of money. It's just that simple. So that's one
And the parks, the sales tax will help deal with that.
That's $1 million just to keep the centers open at the hours they are now and expand them, hopefully.
The other item on the August ballot are sewer bonds. What's that about?
Sewer bonds, it's really the overflow control project is the main beneficiary of that. It's a revenue bond, which means that the bond will be paid by the rates that are currently being paid. They won't go up. As a result of this, we're simply saying give us the authorization to purchase the bond so that we can do some work, push some work out now while rates are low, people are unemployed. We can bit some jobs out of it, but we can get the work done and we can meet the deadline set by the EPA so we don't incur penalties.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. We'll talk about the Downtown Convention Hotel, the need for a new fire chief, Kemper Arena, and a whole lot more. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We'll be right back. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. Looking for some ways to save your garden and help your trees during this drought? Hear the advice of experts and the voices of farmers on yesterday's broadcast, which you'll find with all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, ending the myth of amateurism in college athletics. This hour, we're talking with Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. If you want to join our conversation, as always, you can do it, 816-235-2888, our email address, update@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Mayor, let's talk about priorities just a little bit. We nipped that as we left the first half of the program. But during your term, you've talked about several different priorities. You looked at the schools for a while. There was a billion-dollar infrastructure bond campaign you had talked about. There was support for a downtown convention hotel, you know, streetcars. Tick off, if you would, three or four priorities. Where are you going with your administration now that you've been in and sort of have a feel for the lay of the land and what this office is all about?
We're never going to abandon our drive and desire to have an impact on schools in this city. Never. From a moral standpoint, children deserve a quality education regardless of the color of their skin or where they live.
Yeah.
From an economic development standpoint, we are stupid if we think we can repopulate this city with the schools.
What can the city do to help the schools? What's your thinking there?
There has to be a partnership. It cannot be done with the city alone or the school district alone. The school district does not have the ability to bring wraparound services, social services, to the fore in the same way that the city does. School district does not have the political clout that the city does.
Services, you're talking about services that go outside the school day itself, daycare after school, help with homework, that kind of thing.
Social services, all sorts of things that are needed by children. When we know that a child's ability to succeed in school is to some extent determined by the zip code in which they live, we can't expect that the school, even if it's performing at optimal level, with a child in it for 6-7 hours a day and then releasing that child back out into the environment for the rest of the day, that environment's not going to have a drag on that child's ability to succeed.
So wraparound services really seems to be the future. That's the way to go. That's path forward.
That's certainly a big part of it. So schools are always going to be a priority. We have to find ways to produce more product. Okay, if you look at the city as a business, okay, in order to get revenue, we either can cut our overhead and save more revenue, charge more for our product, taxes, or sell more product, tourism, cultural tourism, arts, conventions. So that's where the convention hotel comes in. I was sitting next to Edwin Lee, the mayor of San Francisco. We sit alphabetically.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a conversation over lunch while we were in Philly. And I said, what's your budget? You know, I said, you're a city of 49 square miles. You've got about 825,000 people. We're a city of 316 square miles and a population of 460. What's your budget? $7.2 billion.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
And after
that's
you,
multiples of Kansas City's.
We fit 8 San Franciscos in Kansas City, but they have like 6 times the amount of our budget. Our budget is $1.2 billion. But I said, okay, that's your whole budget. What is it after you deduct out the enterprise, airport, water, those types of things? It's about $3.3 billion. Ours is $500 million. They have $3.3 billion to play with as their general fund, and they're at a deficit of $385 million, which is almost our entire general fund. How do you do it? What's your tax mix? Well, we have the regular taxes, but we make most of our money on hotel fees, rental car taxes, tourism, conventions. Okay? We are never going to catch San Francisco in that regard, but we are not maximizing our potential in that regard either. We need to bring more people into this city and let them spend their money here.
So downtown convention hotel remains a priority.
It's absolutely a priority. It needs to be done. When at the All-Star game, I was asked by CVA to meet with some 27 convention planners that they had brought into town for the All-Star game. And I met with a couple. I won't name who they are. I don't think that's right. But you would recognize the initials quite readily.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a convention in St. Louis. I said, why didn't you come to Kansas City? He said, build a downtown convention hotel and we will. We love Kansas City, but you can't accommodate us. He was sitting at a table with three other people. They all said the same thing. You don't have enough space. You don't have a downtown convention hotel. We would come if you had it. And here's the other thing. A downtown convention hotel, the Flag, would in and of itself try to keep their hotel filled by reaching out to their network of hotels within the country and their conventions there and convention planners and bringing those conventions to Kansas City.
So what are we seeing with this downtown convention hotel?
We're still trying to find a way to pay for it without obligating the city in any significant way, which is very difficult. But we have a couple of irons in the fire, and I think that we're going to get something done. But you know, it's dicey. We're basically saying to people, and I know everybody thinks that if it's good, then people will just build it. Well, you know, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
You got to subsidize it to make it happen.
You subsidize just about everything, and it ain't just Kansas City. It's every city in this country doing exactly the same thing. And we're not sure that we want to spend huge amounts of money to subsidize it yet because we have too many other priorities.
Yeah.
Another priority, never giving up on infrastructure, but that's going to be up to the citizens. It's a big lug. No doubt about it. I ain't lying to anybody about it. It's going to cost a ton of money. And the reason it's going to cost a ton of money is because we haven't done it on a pay-as-you-go basis for years. But we're stuck with it. I'm not ready to kick that can down the road. I'm willing to take it on. I'm willing to go over and say to people, we need to do this, and then let them decide. But the bottom line is the people of this city need to decide whether or not it's worth it to them to fix the streets, the roads, the curbs, the sidewalks, the trees, the pipes, everything that needs to be fixed in this city and pay the price for it.
Well, Mayor, of all the things you're laying out here, infrastructure, the downtown convention hotel, streetcars, the school district, what you know, if you got to pick one or two, what's it going to be?
School district.
Mm-hmm.
Not school district, education.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is tied to that. Everything.
We've got to fix that nut before we can go forward.
Look, if we could say, if we could put a sign on 70 and a sign on 35 and a sign on 71 that says, come to Kansas City, best public school system in the country, people would come here, period. And then we would be able to get them into those neighborhoods because they would have a school down the block where mm-hmm. they could come and grow their family and send their kid down the street to school. That's a key issue. In everything. We can't have a workforce unless we have an educated workforce. We can't repopulate our neighborhoods unless we bring people in that are younger who are going to stay there for 20 years, take care of their property. What is happening is that you get to the age of 30 in this city and you have a child and boom, off you go to some place with a better school district, leaving only those people who are empty nesters or older in some of the neighborhoods to take care of property that they can't really afford to take care of.
But again, this notion of the best school district in the country, that seems to be a little far-fetched right now. So in the meantime, you know, you're going to do what?
I'm not suggesting that we're going to become the best school district in the country. I'm saying that if that were the case, if you could say that, the result would be people moving into those areas. In the meantime, what we do is we have a situation, for example, out south with Hale Cook, a group of concerned parents who want to open up a school, stay in their neighborhood with their children. We ought to be trying to find a way to make that happen. Because if we don't find a way to make that happen, they'll find a way to make something else happen. Mm-hmm. And they may show their displeasure with their feet. We need to be open to change. We need to understand that by sitting back and thinking that we can protect this system in some way without breaking some eggs, without upsetting the apple cart, is simply not going to work.
But your answer so far, Mayor, has been to keep this school district intact the way it is. You've resisted any calls to break up the district, end it, farm out students to other districts. Why not go a different route and try a different way?
Well, I did try to go a different route and a different way. I suggested first and foremost a system of mayoral control with a totally different governance structure and a different board structure and all sorts of different things.
And legislators said no thanks.
The legislature didn't say much of anything when push came to shove.
Yeah.
They did absolutely nothing. No changes were made. Shame on them. After all that rigmarole and politicizing, not a single change was made. I've been an advocate for a lot of different changes, and I'm going to remain an advocate for a lot of different changes. I work with the U.S. Conference Education Task Force. There are a lot of different things. There are some things moving now in that same direction to try to have an impact on the education of kids. We're going to continue to fight for change and to fight for more efficiencies and to fight for a more advanced look, but we're also going to work with our program, Turn the Page, to make sure that we're trying to reach out to every child and make sure that they can read at grade level by third grade. We can't necessarily change every school, but we sure can help to reach every child as much as we can and make sure that they're ready for kindergarten and beyond, because you learn to read up to third grade, and after that, you read to learn. So if you haven't learned to read, then you're not going to be able to learn.
Mayor Sly James is our guest. Our phone number again, 816-235-2888. Let's go to some calls here. Eric from Kansas City, Missouri. Eric, you're on with the mayor. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you for being so open. You have your plate full, for sure.
Thank you.
Question, long before you took office, the water department here, and this is unanimous among everyone I know and all my neighbors, the water department here did something very disrespectful and condescending in that they went 2 monthly billing from every other month billing, and they claimed that it was to help people manage their budgets easier. But it was clear they were just trying to hide that they were doubling the rate. And now people are paying every month, twice as much as they were paying every other month. So, and obviously we know that that's because of the federally mandated upgrades in the water department and the infrastructure. My question is, is there a plan to scale all of that back down once all of these improvements are made? Are we going to be stuck with these higher costs, or is there a definitive plan to return the rates to where they were before the infrastructure projects happened?
Thank you very much for your question, and I wish I could tell you that hold-on relief is coming, but you need to understand that the Overflow Control Project is a 25-year project. $2.5 billion at current cost. By the time 25 years rolls around, I'm pretty sure that's going to be closer to $4 billion, no doubt about it. I don't see a rollback coming, to be honest with you. What I do want to see, however, is two things. First, we're trying to work as a unit with the mayors to talk to the EPA to get some relief. Perhaps stretch it over 35 or 40 years so that we don't have to do as much and cram as much in. Two, we need to find a different funding method than simply rates if we possibly can. That's difficult to do. But aware of the problem, I pay my water bills like everyone else, and they are high. The problem is, once again, by kicking the can down the road for years now and not taking care of this problem, not just us, but a lot of cities around the country, we have put ourselves behind the eight ball. The other thing, too, is to have the EPA kind of back off a little bit. You know, I mean, it's easy for me to tell you that you got to spend $100,000 on your lawn. It's a lot harder for you to come up with $100,000. And that's kind of what they've done. So we're hopeful of getting some help there as well.
All right. Thank you.
Eric, good luck. Thank you for the call. Pam from Kansas City, Missouri. Pam, you're on Up to Date with the mayor. Good morning.
Good morning, folks. How are you? And good morning, Mr.
Good.
Mayor.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I have somewhat of a disagreement with your priorities with reference to schools over infrastructure. If we don't fix the infrastructure, we won't get the citizens into the city to go to the schools.
Well, don't misunderstand. When somebody asks me what's my number one priority, that doesn't mean that I have no others. If you recall, I proposed a long time ago that we invest $1 billion into our infrastructure, but I'll also tell you what happened when I did that. First thing that happened was everybody said, well, we can't do that. We're not going to pay for that. We don't have the money for that. So it's kind of like, you know, people have to make a decision. We either have to stop complaining about it or be willing to pay for it. I think we ought to pay for it.
Sir, with all due respect, as the gentleman previously to me stated, we are paying for it in our monthly water bills versus our bi-monthly bill. That was the the utility company's way to raise the rates without having to get a permission to it.
Well, you're only talking about water. Infrastructure is a lot more than water.
I understand that, but that money goes to that money also goes to take care of the sewer systems. What do you use the property taxes for?
Property taxes support schools and a number of other things, but the bottom line is that infrastructure is not simply water and sewers. We're talking about rebuilding streets. We're talking about bridges. We're talking about curbs and sidewalks, and the water rates don't have anything to do with that. We are $6 billion behind on deferred maintenance in this city. Some of that's water, some of that's concrete. And although the rates for water and sewer have gone up to address some of those issues with water and sewer, there are no rates attached to building streets, curbs, sidewalks, and bridges. That's where one of the main problems is, and that's where we have a huge deficit and no money to make it up.
Pam, thanks for the call. Let's go to Heather from Gardner. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with your priorities because I don't think anybody's going to move downtown or stay downtown until the schools are fixed down there. And if you want to fix the infrastructure, you're not going to get the tax money until people move down there to use the infrastructure, and they'll stay down there. Right now you have like a niche. Most of my friends will be, oh, we're going to live downtown, and they live downtown in their early 20s. But once it comes time to have babies, they move right back out to OP or Blue Valley or Gardner because the schools are phenomenal.
Bingo.
And right, and you want to keep those people down there. They're already down there. We love the city. We left the city for the same reason. We wanted decent schools, so we moved to Gardner, and we pay, oh my gosh, a ridiculous, I think we have $300 a month tacked onto our house payment for taxes, and a lot of that, at least half, is just for Gardner taxes. And our tax rate is one of the highest, I think it's the highest in Johnson County, but we gladly pay it because our schools are so good. And so if people want to fix these issues, I know that, you know, I know that Johnson County is a really wealthy area compared to the demographics in the city, but, you know, they need to, like you said, stop complaining and deal. Like, open it up and pay for it because the city is not going to be able to be fixed with what y'all got going on there, with what you guys have monetarily speaking. So yeah. I wish you all the luck in the world. I think your priorities are right on, and you're definitely doing a better job than Funkhauser. So have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Heather, thank you for the call. Luis, a UMKC law student and cyclist who works downtown, asked this. Are there any plans to have bike lanes on Kansas City streets? I know it would be difficult in the Power and Light District, but bike lanes probably aren't necessary in low-speed areas. What we need are bike lanes to get to downtown, he writes.
I agree, and that's part of our bicycle plan is to add more bike lanes. We've added more over the past few years. We've actually moved our level up. I'm not sure if we're silver, but we've got a lot more work to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bikes are certainly one of our priorities. I'm very proud of the folks who brought the bike share program.
Have you ridden a bike yet?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either, but I'm angling to get there sometime.
I think it's a pretty neat program.
I do, too.
And as a matter of fact, I was driving around on a Sunday 2 weeks ago, and I drove through downtown on the way back from a meeting and drove past one of the racks, and there was like two bikes left in it.
Yeah.
And it was a hot day.
Yeah.
So that tells me that there's a demand and it's being met.
That's a neat deal.
It is.
Let's go to Janine from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. I was calling. You made reference to the streetcar and why are we starting? And the fact that people are saying, well, why not put it out on the east side and bring the people down? The Housing Authority has now moved downtown, and there are a lot of people that need to get there. And, of course, we know what parking is like. And I was wondering, why are we starting in Midtown going north instead of going from the east to downtown?
For a couple of reasons. Number one, to do a TDD through a residential area would be extremely hazardous on homeowners.
That's a district that pays for the streetcar
system.
The
TDD is the one that pays for it, so we needed to start in a more commercial area. The idea was, and also if you do one on the east side, here's what happens, or the west side or the north side or any side, here's what happens. You get bogged down with everybody wanting to have it. So now you're all of a sudden that 1 or 2 or 3 mile plan that you had becomes a 50 mile plan and you can't get anything done, no money, and it falls apart. That's the exact same thing that happened the last time. We want to do our light rail system. Yeah, but it's got to go to the airport. Well, it's got to go to Grandview. Well, it's got to go out to the stadiums and the Blue Springs. And by the time everybody nothing happened. So we want a very compact starter line that will connect with the plan that Mike Sanders at the county executive's office has to bring in commuter rail from the east, connect downtown, and then use the streetcar and buses as a dispersal system, and then extend the streetcar both south and perhaps east.
Mayor, just a couple real quick things to wrap up here today. Kemper Arena, just quickly, the future there is what? Is it going to get razzed, or where are we going here?
We have to find some use for it, some way to deal with it, and I'm not exactly sure what that is. We're still getting information from the American Royal people.
Kempers want to build a new arena there for the American Royal.
Well, they want to tear down the Kemper and build a new American Royal building that would be different, more suited to their purposes. It's one of those things that we are looking at, but until we get a full plan and can evaluate the finances of it, we're kind of just moving slowly forward.
Okay, maybe the toughest question of all today.
Sure.
You and Chamber of Commerce President Jim Heater are in the midst of a weight loss race. You two agreed to a 5-month competition to get in better shape. Who's winning, Mayor?
Who's winning?
you look great.
Well, thank you. I think I've lost, but I think Jim has done a pretty good job, to be honest with you.
Are you sticking with it?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I had a very good time this morning with my staff person, Jay Hodges, who took me to a gym and put on some boxing gloves, and that's a workout.
You pounded each other a little bit.
No, heck no. He'd kill me. I pounded, and I think he's smarter than that. I pounded a bag, and he laughed.
Yeah, there you go. Mayor, always good to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Steve. Always good to be here.
That's Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. You can learn more about Mayor James and all our guests and get more information about our show at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.